This morning, as we look at hope, we understand that over the last 18 months, we have become a hopeless society. But there is good news because there is hope in Jesus Christ. Now, when the Bible speaks about hope, it's not talking about some wimpy, I hope I get this for Christmas. Or I hope she says yes. I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager and I was dating, I wasn't real confident in inviting girls out. And so I would say, you don't want to go out, do you? And finally, one of the girls that I was going out with, she said, stop asking me that way. And then she never went out with me again. But no, when the Bible speaks about hope, it's talking about a confident assurance. I am confident this is what's going to happen. And so this morning, we're going to look at hope. Winston Churchill was asked, how was he able to lead England in World War II to victory? And without hesitation, he quickly answered, because of hope. Peter writes, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, says these words, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has called us to be born again to a living hope. Everybody say living hope. To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then our verse of the week, the place on the screen, read it aloud with me. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Let's read aloud. We have fixed our hope on the living God. See, that verse right there tells us that Paul was from the south because he said we fixed it. Up north, you don't fix anything. You repair it. But down here, let's read it one more time, will you? We have fixed our hope on the living God. You may be seated. If you want biblical hope in your notes, we need to look to God. Look to God. The Bible says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, what's encouraging, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. This is not a trick question, okay? 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Who wrote 1 Peter 1, verse 3? Peter. And Peter was the same man who a few years earlier had denied Jesus. And yet years later, he talks about a living hope. I have good news for you this morning. This word has good news for you this morning. You may have messed up your past, but God gives you hope for the future. Can somebody say amen? There is hope. Peter said we have hope. And look at what he said. We have hope through the resurrection. Through the resurrection. In the book of Matthew, before the resurrection, you find the word hope one time. In the New Testament, after the resurrection, you find the word hope 70 times. Now, why does the cross bring us hope? Because on the cross, it is a symbol or an emblem of death. And yet it is that death symbol or emblem that allows us the resurrection, which brings us the hope. This morning I was looking, and one of the guys in the first service, he had a chain on and a cross, and he was wearing it. And I understand the why. And yet if you would have been wearing a cross in Jesus' day, it would be basically equal to if you were wearing a chain and an electric chair around your neck. Or if you were wearing a chain here today and a syringe so you could be killed. They were symbols and emblems of death. And yet notice this morning, Jesus took that which the enemy meant for harm, and he used it for good. I have good news for you this morning. Your past may have been jacked up, but God has a plan for your present and for your future. God took the evil, heinous device of the cross and turned it into resurrection hope. The cross tells us that God not only understands your pain, but he can transform, hear this morning, he can transform that which Satan meant for harm for your good. I don't know who God is talking to this morning, but somebody needs to know, you may have messed up, but God has a plan for your future. You do not have to leave here this morning dealing with the past and living in the past. We learn from it, but we don't live there. We learn. Everybody say we learn. Don't touch that stove. You touch that stove, you touch it one time. You learned. I hope you learned. Maybe some of you are slow learners. You have to touch it twice. But eventually, hopefully, you will learn. To the blind, Jesus offers sight. To those that are far from him, he offers a way back to God. To those who are the outcast, he offers acceptance. To those who are guilty, he offers forgiveness. Can you say amen this morning? Jesus had the audacity to give us hope in the face of overwhelming odds. In fact, on the cross, he hung and he said to one of the guys hanging with him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." That's hope. I'm just going to pause a moment. I don't know who God's talking to. I sensed it in the first service, and I believe it in this service. There, and I don't know how many, but there are individuals or an individual that because of your past, you are allowing yourself to be held down, to be held back. This morning, God wants to wipe your windshield clean. I stopped at a place in town, had breakfast on the way to the church this morning. One of the guys was cleaning the windows of the restaurant. He's getting the fingerprints off, the smudges, the dirt, the grime. And some of you this morning, you need Father God just to come through his Holy Spirit. And just like that guy, you spray some things on the window, and then you get the squeegee. You just go down. Father, I don't know who you're talking to. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the condemnation that the enemy has brought to some of these people. I know he brings it in my life. But in the name of Jesus Christ, I just release hope in this place. Not hope in me, not hope in this church, but hope in Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. And everyone says, See, many people place their hope in the stock market, and then it crashes. They place their hope in a relationship, and then somebody walks out. They place their hope in their health, and then they get older. Some of you this morning, you got up kind of like Rice Krispies, snap, crackle, and pop. Those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, give yourself some years. Some of the people place their hope in their abilities, and some place their hope in their looks. And then they get older, and things start sagging that didn't sag, and start bagging where they didn't bag. That's why I like myself. When you're old, ugly, and dumb, you're fine. You don't have anything to lose. So for those of you that have something to lose, let me just tell you, you'll lose it. You say, that's not very hopeful. No, my hope's not in the external. Hallelujah. Man, if my hope was in this external, as Paul said, I would be of all men most miserable. My hope is not placed in this world. Listen to what the psalmist said. My soul wait in silence for God only. Can I tell you, number one, it's hard to wait. Number two, it's hard to wait in silence. Because you know what we want to do? I wasn't talking foreign language. I was griping. Now, I know that none of you do, but the person sitting next to you, they gripe when they get mad. When things don't go their way, they gripe. Now, you don't because you're spiritual, you're holy, you're a saint. But see, some others, they gripe. The psalmist says, I will wait in silence. And I will wait only, everybody say only, for God. He goes on, he says, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock. He's only one I can build my foundation on. He only is my salvation. He's the only one that can save me. He only is my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. Like Paul said, we have fixed our hope on the living God. Can I tell you this morning, we do not serve a God who is made with hands. We do not serve a God that we can even understand. We serve a God who is God Almighty. He is Counselor. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the Great I Am. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, the bread of life, the resurrection, the door, the Good Shepherd. He's the peace. He is God. That's who we serve. He's a living God. Hope is more than blind optimism. It's more than bland pessimism. Some people say, well, if you have hope, you'll see the glass half full. If you're a pessimist, you'll see it half empty. Can I tell you this morning, hope says, I don't know if the glass is half full or the glass is half empty, but I know who holds the glass. He's my Father. He's my God. He's my living one. I trust Him to hold the glass. Why do I hope in God? Because He's the only constant one. He's the only consistent one. He is my rock. He is my refuge. He's my bread of life. And He's my peace. Let Bethel be a place where doubters feel comfortable to come. That you don't have to think like us, act like us, look like us. You can come with your honest doubts and say, I don't understand, but I want to learn. Secondly, this morning, if you want hope, look to this book. Look to the Word of God. Listen to what the psalmist says. I wait. There's that word again. I wait. Who do I wait for? For the Lord. My soul does wait, and in your word do I hope. Paul said the Scriptures give us patience and encouragement so that we can have hope. His Word will provide direction. His Word will provide comfort. His Word will provide answers. His Word will provide help. His Word will provide enlightenment. Read this Word. Digest this Word. Learn this Word. It will renew your mind. So Isaiah 40, 31, you will mount up with wings as eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. Renew your mind. Paul says, Romans chapter 12, let this mind, he says, another place, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And then he says, we have the mind of Christ. Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, you may not be able to alter your circumstances, but you can alter your thoughts. You may not be able to alter your circumstances, but you can alter your thoughts. It has to do with who you're listening to. It has to do with what you're tuned into. A number of years ago, the University of Wisconsin was playing football against Michigan State Spartans. This was years ago, and Wisconsin was not a very good team at that time. They were playing in Madison, Wisconsin. And there were 60,000 people there, and it didn't take long to figure out that Michigan State was the better football team. But what was interesting at that stadium, while Michigan State was whopping up on the floor down here, you would hear the stands up here, and every once in a while you'd hear some cheers. You'd hear some clapping, you'd hear some rejoicing. And why were they rejoicing? Why were they clapping? Because of what was happening on the field? No. Oh, listen to this, church. They were rejoicing because 70 miles down the road in Milwaukee, somebody was listening, and they were listening to the Milwaukee Brewers in Game 3 of the World Series defeating St. Louis Cardinals. What is the key? It's what you're listening to. Don't tune your life into this world only, but hear what God is saying, because He says in His book, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do not tune your radio only to this world, but tune it to the world that is to come. Lastly, this morning, look to the future. Look beyond this world. Look to the eternity. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. This hope we have as an anchor. It's an anchor. This hope is an anchor. What does an anchor do? It keeps the ship in place. It is sure and steadfast. Say sure, steadfast. And one which enters within the veil. On the screen, you'll see a picture of a rock. The rock has a hole in it that has been bored out so that the rope could go through that. And that was a typical look of an anchor for the early day writer. So the ship would drop anchor and it would hold that ship in place. But when I was studying, I found out there's another purpose for an anchor. Because there would be times that a large ship would come into an area. But that ship was not able to dock because the water was too shallow or the harbor was too small. And so they would take the rope and they would put it through the rock, and they would take the rock, the anchor, and place it in a small boat and send that small boat into the harbor and then drop the anchor in a safe place that hooked the line up to a pulley, and they would begin to pull that big ship safely into the harbor. Now listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. One which enters within the veil. If you know anything about the Old Testament or New Testament tabernacle or temple, it was broken up into an outer court, inner court, holy place, and holy of holies. What separated the holy place from the holy of holies, which the high priest could only enter once a year, was a large veil. The Bible says that when Jesus died, that veil was ripped from top to bottom, showing, signifying, it wasn't done by human, but it was done by God. So it made it to where we now have access into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you following the picture? Okay, so how does that play into this picture? We'll read what it says. This hope, we have an anchor of the soul. A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters into the veil. Jesus has died, he's gone into heaven, and now he has cast the rope back down to us. He has dropped the anchor safely in heaven. He's set this up to a winch, and if you'll stay on, come on, follow me this morning. If you'll hang on to the rope, he's going to pull you to safety. All you've got to do is just stay hanging on to the rope. You say, I feel like giving up. I'm discouraged. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what people's going to say. I don't know about my health. I don't know about my diaper, my toilet paper. I don't know about anything. The good news is, if you'll just hang on to the rope, turn to your neighbor and say, hang on to the rope. As I close this morning, some of you aren't hanging on to the rope because you've not given your life to Jesus. He's already done his work, but you've not accepted it. And this morning, in just a few moments, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to invite everyone here to pray a prayer with me. We're going to make Jesus Lord of our life. We're going to allow Jesus to pull us. We're going to allow Jesus to say, you know what? I want that personal relationship with Christ. And so if that's what you desire, would you bow your heads? And as you bow your head, I'm going to ask you, everyone in this place, will you pray this prayer, making Jesus Lord of our lives? Would you join me as we pray today? Let's pray. Father God, I open myself to you. I confess my sins. I ask your forgiveness. I thank you for forgiving me. And I gladly confess that Jesus Christ is now Lord of my life. Thank you for doing what I have asked.